Most bankers aren't ready to help you until after their third cup of coffee. But with Central National Bank's after-hours service, you don't have to wait for the bank lobby to open to get help. You can contact us from 6 to 8:30 in the morning or from 5 to 10 in the evening, and we'll connect you to a real, live, local person who can answer questions and fix problems 7 days a week. Bank different. Bank Central. Central National Bank. Member FDIC.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is a Rogue Media Network podcast.
I'm Austin Meek with Waco Business News, and you're listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business. My guest today is Mayor of Waco, Dylan Meek. We talk about the highlights of his tenure in the mayoral seat and what he's looking forward to while he still keeps the chair warm over the next 5 months. But first, it's the Business Review.
Advancing with courage and passion. I'm CJ Jackson, and this is the Business Review. Amir Aliwali may not have had the experience, but her employer saw something else in her that many employers overlook. A&E's supervising producer and Forbes 30 Under 30 shares how she got her start and the event that changed her career forever.
I remember the interview with who became my boss for many years, and now I work with him still very closely. I think he knew I didn't know certain things that most people that were going for a coordinator position knew. I worked really hard for it, but he also saw something in me that I think other employers don't always see in people. Passion, but I think he knew I was extremely passionate about storytelling and that I really wanted to be in this industry and I wanted to give a voice to different storytellers. I just came from the Forbes Summit, so I've met people in different lanes and we've had these conversations about what drives each of us. We're all very passionate, even though we do very different things, about the one thing that we do and like why we do it.
One event that propelled Liwali's career also required a healthy dose of courage.
When I came into this position as a coordinator, so you feel like you're very low level and you don't speak up as much and you just want to keep your head down and work. It took my manager at the time, and I thank him for doing this, just to say, hey, you're great at your job, but we'd love to hear what you think, your opinion, your views. And I know that may be scary, but that's also why you're here. Because the moment I started to open my mouth and give my viewpoints, my career changed forever. And it took me a while to get the guts to share my voice. But the moment I did, that's when everything changed.
The Business Review is a production of Livingston & McKay and the Handkammer School of Business at Baylor University.
The Business Review can be heard during Morning Edition and All Things Considered each Thursday on KWBU. Dylan Meek is the mayor of Waco, at least for another 5 or 6 months or so. Welcome back to Downtown Depot at the very beginning of 2024.
Thrilled to be here. Happy New Year.
Dylan, as we are looking back on your mayoral tenure, and I guess we can extend it before that to when you rolled onto city council in 2015, I would love to think about, it's May, you're finishing your time as mayor, your wife gives you a really nice picture frame, and there are little snippets of the last 5 to 7 years of you in city council. When you're thinking about those highlights and those photo moments, what are those for you when you look back on your time of public service?
I'll tell you, I don't know how you put this in a picture, but something that I'm really proud of what we've been able to accomplish is building up an economy that creates greater opportunity for everybody. It's a team effort between the Greater Waco Chamber of Commerce and the WIF and the McLennan County and the city. But since 2017, we've added nearly 5,000 jobs to our economy. Since 2019, over 3,000 jobs. And these jobs are good paying jobs that you can work at an entry level and make a livable wage and support your family. And some of them might not be even forever jobs, but they're jobs where you're going to be able to make ends meet. They're livable wages and they're good jobs. And a lot of them are amazing jobs. And we've worked strategically and are still in process to ensure that allowing people to have access to these jobs through transit or job training is as seamless as possible. And so building an economy that really creates opportunity for financial security for the most people is something that we've worked hard at. And I'm really proud of some of the achievements we've made in that.
You do mention the number of jobs that have been created. Waco does have a low unemployment rate. Something that we enjoy in Waco is that there is a low cost of living. It seems really hard to find other spots in Texas where you get more bang for your buck for living in Waco. The nature that you have close to you, the access to amenities that we have within a 3-hour driving distance, the ugly underbelly of that is that employers can look to see, okay, well, this is a very moderate cost of living here, and as a result, you can't get the wages that you might get in an Austin or a Dallas. What have you guys done, or what can be done still, to bring in more six-figure jobs?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So a couple of things. One is I will say that the cost of living in Waco isn't that value proposition in terms of housing affordability isn't quite what it was before. And part of that is because the labor market and the demand for in the economy it's really grown. But I do hear what you're saying. And I think one of the things that we've worked really hard to do is build relationships with people who can help really grow that professional type job that is going to, you want to have a well-rounded economy. You want to make sure that you have good jobs that people can enter into a job and climb a ladder and maybe start out making a good, solid, livable wage, but grow into a management position that's paying an amazing wage. And so I think we've worked really strategically to bring those type companies to Waco where there is an actual ladder to climb. You can start it at the bottom of the ladder, climb your way to the top, make an excellent wage. But even on that first rung, those wages are much better, even with inflation, much better than what existed in Waco's history. We've worked really strategically to be a community where you can grow your own business. Entrepreneurship is one gateway to financial security and wealth. And so through the support of the chambers of commerce that the city's provided in partnership with them, as well as Startup Waco and just kind of the culture in Waco of being supportive of entrepreneurs and businesses, hopefully we've created a culture where entrepreneurs can build wealth in our community as well. Again, not perfect, but worked as hard as we could to really put some strategy towards that. One of the things that we've really looked at is bringing together a team of people who are endeared to Waco but have been really successful in business. So there's people that grew up here or maybe some Baylor graduates who have gone on to do really big things in business. And that is one of the chicken or egg things that we've tried to solve for before. It's this thing of when you poll people, and anecdotally I would say there are more people that want to live in Waco because of the quality of life or some amenities that they love. But they're like, oh, there's not a great job for me there, so I'm going to stay in a different city. And at the same time, we have employers who would say, well, you don't have the educated enough workforce for us to relocate or open a division there. And so we're trying to figure out how to break that chicken or egg cycle that we've been living in. And so one of the strategies that we're doing to implement that is, one, really strategically targeting some higher paying firms to look at Waco for some industries that can make sense here. But another thing that we're doing is pulling together like I said, that group of people that are endeared to Waco and either have grown up here and kind of moved on and done and found success in business, or had gone to the university to Baylor and have left and found success but still care about Waco, and pull them to the table to say, how would y'all help us solve this problem? Are there people in your networks that would be interested in investing in Waco somehow to help us solve for this problem? And hopefully there's going to be some answers that come from that.
So employment, that's one of the hallmarks of your last 7 years in city service. When I'm thinking about what goes in that picture frame, and I'm thinking about, you know, initiatives that you had that were important for me just as a citizen here, I thought what you did for paycheck lending and getting those paycheck lending that's essentially stealing from uneducated people, getting those out of the city, the leadership that you showed during COVID, during the ice storm, managing the recent water crisis, I thought that was really impressive. Your communication throughout it. Last week I had on Mary Thompson Kennedy from Neighborly, who's a former Marine, talking about how as a leader you have to whistle in the dark. You might not know exactly where you're going, but you have to make sure everyone knows where you are and they can watch you and they can follow that way. And also, I think, you know, especially downtown, we're seeing more ramifications of this strengthened relationship between Baylor and the city. Mm-hmm. Those are things that for me are highlights. And I know it's maybe a little tough for you being as humble as you are to hit highlights of your tenure, but are there any other things that you're particularly proud of that you were able to accomplish over the last 5-7 years?
Yeah, I'm really excited about the new TIF zone that we were able to implement. There's a lot of commercial corridors, and frankly, half of the downtown was not included in the TIF zone. And we created a new TIF zone that includes a lot of historic commercial corridors throughout the city that need investment. And we've seen such success in the downtown TIF as a funding strategy to achieve that revitalization. I'm proud of that. I'm really thankful for the infrastructure that we've been able to implement. We have a really robust street program that was in motion before I got on council, but we've really carried that through. When I got on council, they were just wrapping up a study that said that we had been spending about $3.5 million on streets, and a study came back that said to maintain the status quo, you needed to be spending about $27 million a year on streets. And the status quo was not good at the time, by the way. So we're spending it well above that now on streets, and have directed a lot of money towards infrastructure and planning for growth. And a lot of times you don't see that. You don't see the long-range water strategies that are being implemented. I think the future in Texas is that water will be like gold, and Waco has a great strategy and plan, has had a great strategy and plan to allow for an abundant supply of water. I know we were just in a drought and we were experiencing restrictions, but on the whole, industry has been able to thrive in Waco because of strategic water planning, utilizing water rights we have in Lake Waco, and also a strategic water rights we have in the Brazos River. And we have just finished a long range strategic plan for water in the long haul. And that's something that you don't always see. I'm really thankful for a lot of the revitalization that we have seen in downtown. And I don't take credit for that because there's a team of people in the city working diligently there. But it really, I mean, you know as well as anybody, Austin, based on all of the coverage that you provide and the people that you've encountered and met and featured on this amazing program, that downtown really is a amazing ecosystem, a vibrant, kind, creative, intelligent, compassionate people who are trying to make our city better. And I've loved to see the artists, and I've loved to see the entrepreneurs and the investors who've worked really hard to make our downtown more beautiful. And it's been a real honor to see that, to see a lot of momentum around that. You look at all that the Gaines family has contributed in capital investment around the silos. You see, you know, Terry Black's Barbecue coming into downtown Waco. I've got a lot of great local barbecue spots I love. But it's exciting to have a really renowned restaurant like that coming into our downtown. You see 1928 opened its doors in a hotel of that quality. And you see the finish line, you see the Herringbone Hotel on the finish line, and you check out the renderings of that, and it's going to be match the quality of 1928 every bit, but it's also going to be very funky and very different. And I'm really excited about that. One of the things I'm proud of looking back is that when we saw a lot of the real estate on Elm Avenue go up for sale on the market, and obviously revitalization is good. We want revitalization. We don't want old buildings to remain vacant, but you also want the community to be able to speak into that. And we've worked hard to find that balance. And one way we did that was by buying some real estate that was about to get sold. And I think it was the right investment, and we will have a good ROI there. I'm really excited about the trajectory of Waco. I think one thing that I look back on that has been a real honor for me is being able to partner with our team at the city and just this community and really stake out, like, what is Waco's culture? Like, what is our brand? Who are we? We just completed a branding exercise at the city that came out with some great visuals and a new tagline that Waco is a city to believe in. I think for a long time, we all kind of knew what Waco's identity was, but we hadn't put words to it. And now we have a book that says, this is what Waco's identity is, and we can carry that. And I do think that regardless of that study that just got published, the culture of Waco is unique, because I think that people here are collaborative. People here are kind. People here go out of their way to work together. They go out of their way to give the benefit of the doubt. They go out of their way to seek to understand. And it feels like in other parts of the country, that's not the trajectory of cultures. And in Waco, it feels like we've worked really hard to be ambitious. We've worked really hard to address need, to call out need that needs to be addressed, but at the same time, do it in a way that's collaborative and kind.
You will be vacating the mayoral seat in May. I wonder if this next 4 or 5 months is a little bit like second semester of senior year, where like, I've already been admitted to my college. I'm kind of just skating through it.
Yeah.
Are there really things that you are able to accomplish over the next four or 5 months, or are you just keeping the seat warm?
A couple of answers to that. One, I've used that metaphor, but I've also added to it that I also ran in the state track meet, and I was like very ready to be done with high school, but also wanted to compete well. And so there's this tension of like, I want to get stuff over the finish line, but I also am thinking about what's next a little bit too, that I think is natural. So I deeply care and take this role seriously, and I'm so honored to be in this seat. And so, definitely hope to finish well. And a couple of things that I want to see get across the finish line. Yeah, I think our some city staff members, and maybe our city manager, if he's listening to this, is like, trust me, that guy is not coasting. They're probably like, wish I was, because there's a couple of things I'm trying to get over the finish line and excited to do that. We're in the process of, there's 60 acres of publicly owned land in downtown Waco. A lot of those parking lots that surround City Hall, our convention center, we're in the process right now of doing our request for qualifications. I'm going to distinguish that from what you've seen us do in the past, which is a request, an RFP, where you submit a plan. It's not a request for proposal in terms of what are we actually going to do here. It's who's the most qualified developer to come in here and really meet the goals of the city. We hired Gensler to help us define those goals, and not that we're saying we have to do just this, but kind of set the bar for what we want to accomplish. And we just saw some developers throw their name in the hat, and are incredibly excited about the direction that could go. I mean, some of the vision that this calls for is, it's interesting. If you can picture City Hall, it used to have a symmetrical town square around it, and a road that leads to the suspension bridge that actually is symmetrically in the center of City Hall. And then at some point in urban renewal, that all got covered with Hilton and with the convention center. And our dreaming is like, hey, how do we open that back up and have a plaza? So we're dreaming really big on how we can develop a really robust, beautiful downtown corridor in this area. So that's one. I'm excited to see some of that hopefully achieved. I'm excited about we have a new beautification department. That's something I care about. I know in the grand scheme of things, I don't know if people would argue it's the most important thing, but we got a couple of full-time employees now whose role is to make sure Waco is a more beautiful city and that we're both being proactive and reactive and strategic about how to make sure our corridors and community is a beautiful place and public infrastructure and working with private development towards that goal. One of the other things I've tried to do, and I believe in a really appropriate way, try to just bring the faith community, the broad faith community, to know what's going on in the city. Aaron Zimmerman, who's a pastor here in town, once said, not engaging the faith community in Waco is like not engaging the labor unions in Detroit. But it is a really strategic move, I think, to make sure that our faith leaders are completely informed on what's happening in our city as they are leaders in their own communities. And so we have some strategic work that we're doing around really ensuring that that community knows what's going on in Waco and can communicate that to their respective congregations.
Hey, fellas, I'm sorry to jump in. Brody here. Hi, everybody. Dylan, thank you for every time that you've come to our rescue. I remember a time Austin couldn't make it in for a program, and I called you and I said, please, can you come in? And we got that together. But I'm just going to jump in here to tell Austin, thank you for everything that you have done with Downtown Depot, because you gave us the news a few weeks ago that you were going to be stepping down from your hosting duties. And I really appreciate everything that you have done. I could get emotional, but Dylan, you can talk to Austin.
This is news to me too. This is Austin's last episode of Downtown Depot. Yeah, Austin, you've done an incredible job in bringing really great stories to our community. And we were just talking a minute ago about how an informed community is a better community. And KWBU works hard to achieve that.
Well, I want to say, now that I've got myself together, I don't think that we'd have conversations with Creative Waco had it not been for you and Downtown Depot and having Fiona as part of this program. And just the number of people that you have brought to this program over the years has really made a difference. And I can't tell you how many testimonials we've had from listeners who have said that Downtown Depot is one of their favorite programs. Mm-hmm. And it does my heart so good to know that it's a local program that people are tuning in for, and not just the national things. Yep. With that said, Downtown Depot will continue in some form or fashion. We're still going to be serving the community. Mm-hmm. Austin's not going to be in the hosting seat. And we're not sure exactly what that format is going to look like just yet, but we are definitely still here to serve the community. And I wasn't going to let you go the whole time without telling you that and telling you thank you. So we can't hear your nods. So you do know that, right?
Thank you, Brody. Thank you, Dylan. Yeah, this is something I've always viewed as community service. And for me, this is a lot more fun than picking up garbage on the river. It's easy and enjoyable for me to get to talk to people who are experts in their field, and also to let all of Waco know what a cool, diverse, interesting community we have here, not just in the business world, but in the city development and the people who are making our schools work and the cities run. It's really been one of the coolest honors of my life.
As I was listening to you talk to Dylan, I'm thinking every question you have asked him, we can ask you about what you have done with Downtown Depot. I mean, the changes that have made, the changes that we have seen, you've been a part of what has happened in this community, and you've brought it to the bigger community. And we really, really thank you for that.
Yeah. Austin, what are some highlights that you have from your time?
Gosh. I mean, the first episode interviewing Kyle Deaver, I think that shocked the whole KWBU staff that Kyle was willing to come in and do an interview with a guy like me, untested. I think that this show has helped me really keep time with my time in Waco and remembering that when I moved here in 2015, I'd never heard of Fixer Upper before. And like 2016, one of my first guests Dr. Nancy Grayson, who had her shop Lula Jane's, that was such a bastion of the Elm Avenue redevelopment that was happening there, and now it's closed. But remembering, okay, when I did talk to her, Lula Jane's was a thing. It was one of Yelp's top 50 restaurants in the country. And so this is, it's sort of similar to having kids, where your kids are such a good metric of where you are personally and remembering what you're going through. So, yeah, that interview with her, there's a handful of small business owners and civic leaders and citizens. Go support these. And just because they're businesses that I've engaged with doesn't mean they're the only good businesses here. There's so much more. Yep. And Waco, Fiona, I remember Fiona Bond, you mentioned her, Brody. One of the first things she mentioned when she was on my show is that Waco is a city that punches above its weight. And that's a phrase that I've used so many times because the place continually inspires me and surprises me.
Yeah, again, your talents and thoughtfulness to these conversations have made Waco a stronger and better city. I'm really grateful for you.
Thank you, Dylan.
And what's next?
Next for me, so I'm breaking some news here. Okay, so I'm going to be in Waco for the next 6 months, and I want to take my next 6 months in Waco to really spend it with friends and family and people who are important to me. I'm in the process of starting a business up in Portland, Maine, and I'm going to be moving up to Maine this summer, where I will be living and fixing people's garage doors. And in the fall, I'll be back in Dallas, and we'll be moving to Dallas, going up to the neighborly headquarters there. So I feel I sort of reached this period with Waco over the last couple of years. I went through a divorce and just had some personal turmoil I was going through. And what I realized was that when I first moved to Waco, and I'd say probably for my first 5 years, especially when we had started Pokio's, I saw Waco for everything that it could be and that it was. Like, this is a place you can come and you can start a business. You can do whatever you want here. And I had a mentality shift over the last couple of years where I started seeing Waco for the things that it wasn't. Like, oh, there's not an Apple store. Or, oh, I can't go eat sushi downtown on a Tuesday night. And that was my signal, hey, like, maybe you have run your course here. Maybe this has been great for a period and it's time for you to go flex, spread your wings, and hopefully renew some of that perspective that made you fall in love with this place. So this is still a city that can be believed in. This is still a city where you can come and you can try things, and it's accessible, and the community is so welcoming. So, yeah, I'm really excited. I'm only 90 miles away. Still got a sister and, of course, plenty of friends who are here. So I'll be spending lots of time in Waco. But
It's been a pleasure on this side, I'll have to say, on this side of the glass and working with you. I wanted to say that. Dylan, I'm sorry that I took the
I'm so glad you did. You'll still
be here, and we'll bring you back into the studio as we need be.
We should have had me talk about nothing. I would have rather heard about Austin the whole time. So
we can accommodate for sure. So both of you, Dylan, I don't know if we're going to have you back before you step down, and what you do for the city will not go unnoticed for many, many years to come. And I think that a lot of credit is going to fall under you and the team. Yep. I'm not giving it all to you because I know that you're not a solo act, but a great place to be. And
I have to applaud Dylan for putting a cool face on public service. Public service is not always something that we know, it's not sexy, but I, as a result of Dylan called me in 2016 and said, hey, would you serve on this Parks and Recreation board? I was reading through a journal yesterday where I had written about how my city council person called me and asked me to do this. And so people seeing Dylan in that role, I know personally lots of people who have felt empowered to step into positions where they're serving the public because of what you've done.
Got so it. Thanks, man.
Dylan, thankful for you. KWBU listeners, thankful for you. And we wish you a happy new year.
Yep, happy new year.
Thanks again to Mayor Dylan Meek and to you for listening to episode 165 of Downtown Depot here on Waco Public Radio. I've interviewed more than 200 guests, and there are still more I wanted to get to while I hosted this show, but I just simply ran out of time. Anyway, I want to give these people a shout out for these businesses or individuals. These are in no particular order.
Marilyn Banks of Maryland's Gift Gallery, DeShack Farmers Market, the team at Grocery there on Washington Avenue, Sarah Ainsworth, the etiquette coach, Jed Walker of Walker Partners Engineering, the visual artists Kermit Oliver and Ira Watkins, Eric Mitchell from True Love, Tejas Logistics, L3 Harris, SpaceX, Mike Herrera from MXPX, Parnell McNamara, the sheriff, Mill King, Style Station that's in Ross, Hannah Broad of Broad Studio, Scott Drew, the Baylor men's basketball coach, and of course, Joanna Gaines. You guys, just so you know, I've had a note in my phone for the last 7 years. All of you are on it. I didn't get around to talking to you, but I want you to know you're doing incredible work in Waco. You are seen and you are loved. You can find me on Facebook and Instagram at Waco Business News, and be sure to keep tuning in to 103.3 FM for more local content about what's happening in Waco. I'm Austin Meek, and you've been listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business.
This has been a Rogue Media Network production.